Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're online at soundcheck.org.
Three, that's a magic number. Three. Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
This week's Pick 3 playlist comes from Daniel Levitin, the author and neuroscientist. Daniel's books include the bestsellers This Is Your Brain on Music and The World in Six Songs. So he's been our go-to guy when we want to talk about music and the brain. And apparently, we're not the only ones, because I got an email from him late last year saying that he was approaching his 1,000th interview and he wanted it to be on Soundcheck. So now, sharing his Pick 3 playlist with us and making his landmark 1,000th media appearance is Daniel Levitin. Hi, Dan.
Hi, John.
1,000 interviews. That's a lot of people interested in music and neuroscience, which was nowhere 20 years ago. What has happened?
Well, a couple of things. One is digital technology now makes it possible for people to create stimuli for experiments that are the same every time you play them, right? In the old days, if you wanted to record something and study it in the laboratory and analog, making perfectly exact copies of it, which is required for a rigorous experiment, that was impossible. So that's part of it. And then the imaging technology. You know, now that we can peer inside the brain in real time and watch what's happening there.
And that's how we know that there is no music center in the brain. There is a speech center.
Right.
Instead, music is all over the brain.
Yeah.
Which, was that a big surprise?
It was for me, and I think it was for a lot of people, that music activates virtually every area of the brain that we've so far mapped.
Now, you come at this from a unique perspective because of your history as a musician, as a producer, and then as a neuroscientist. But there are people, I mean, I always had this experience that people would say, well, you know, can't you just, like, listen to it? Why do you have to be picking it apart like that and stuff?
Because that's the fun.
It is the fun,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Of course, I didn't go on to get a PhD in neuroscience, as you did. So for this playlist that you've brought us today, some of these songs will not be familiar to most of our listeners. The first one, though, this song got a bit of radio play back in the 80s by a band called Translator. What do you hear in this song that made you want to bring it to us today?
You suggested that I might bring in a recording that was important to my career.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing in a band in San Francisco that had just broken up, and I heard this on the radio, on public radio, KUSF, and I was so excited. It had all that great youthful optimism and enthusiasm of the early Beatles. It was made by a local San Francisco group, and I just found the melody infectious and the lyrics so fun and clever, and I had to pull over to the side of the road while I was driving.
Ah, a driveway moment, as
yes.
NPR calls it.
Uh-huh. I was so excited by Everywhere That I'm Not that as soon as I got home, I called the record company, and I said, I will do anything I have to do to work for you. I want to be part of this.
Hmm. So did you work with this band, with Translator?
I didn't work with Translator, but I got hired by 415 Records as a staff arranger and A&R guy.
Wow.
And then became the head of A&R.
Daniel Levitin, the author and neuroscientist and musician and producer with us, sharing his Pick 3 playlist. And starting off with Translator and a song called You're Everywhere That I'm Not.
I thought I saw you. Just someone who looked a lot like I remember you do. 'Cause I thought I heard your voice in a bar making a choice. But no, it was just someone who sounded a lot like I remember you do. 'Cause that's impossible, that's him. That's impossible, that's him. That's impossible, that's him.
Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not.
don't remember the last time I heard that song. Translator, You're Everywhere That I'm Not. So this is like early to mid-80s, right?
I think it was 81 or so. And the fact that it was local, the record had been made right down the street, you know. And I love the jangly guitars. I love that bass line. And then the two voices. Steve Barton, who wrote and sings the lead on this song, has this clear bell-like McCartney voice. And then on the chorus, You're Everywhere That I'm Not, Robert Darlington comes in with that smoky Lennon-like voice, and they mix so well.
Yeah, so there's definitely a little post-Beatles thing happening with this band called Translator and the song You're Everywhere That I'm Not. Daniel Levitin here with us on Soundcheck, as he has done from time to time, usually to talk about music and the brain, but today, marking his 1,000th interview. So did you find like four or five schmucks to fill in numbers 995, 996, 980, so we could do 1,000 today?
Actually, it worked out just fine.
Okay. So have you always been concerned with how music sounds? Because how we receive music certainly impacts what the brain does with it.
You know, there's different ways of producing records. You can produce a dense record like the Sex Pistols, where you can't really tell what's going on. It's just this massive of monolithic sound.
Right, I would say wall of sound, except that nowadays means Phil Spector and nothing else. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Or you could have more like a Steely Dan or a Fleetwood Mac or a Chicago record, where every instrument is arrayed out in space. And I was always attracted to that because, as a musician, I like to imagine myself on the stage or in the band, and to have the drums over here and the guitars over there in another place, that was very an attractive soundscape for me.
Right. So what does the world of digital music, of MP3 files, of digital compression do to the listening experience?
Well, what we find in our laboratory studies is that, you know, as you know, 90% of the information is taken out, and it fools some of the people some of the time. But it smears a lot of the spatial representation so that you don't get the great definition of where the instruments are.
So will we eventually start missing that? Will the pendulum swing back?
I already am missing it. I try to listen to, you know, WAV files whenever I can.
Right. But you did have a long career before going on to write best-selling books about music and the brain. You had a long career as a musician, as a producer. You mentioned 415 Records, which you eventually were the director of, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, you had the chance to sign MC Hammer, but didn't.
That's right.
What happened?
We got a demo tape, and at the time I got it, you know, it was my job to scout new talent. We were getting hundreds of demo tapes, cassette tapes a week. And it was his demo for You Can't Touch This. Darn, 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 darn. And I thought, you know, the public is not naive enough to fall for this same lick a fourth time. It's already been in Super Freak by Rick James.
Yep.
She's a super freak, super freak, she's super freak.
And then it was Don't Turn Around.
Right, the Commissar.
Right, by Falco.
By Falco.
And then Laura Branigan had a version of that. And so I thought, no, four times is too many. No.
So you underestimated the audio naivete of the American public, is what you're saying.
Or I guess another way to put it is I underestimated their desire to hear that great lick again.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
As a musician and a songwriter yourself, what was that experience like? Was a part of you still kind of like peering over your own shoulder and watching you in that creative process?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. It was very much a reality check to be a songwriter and a musician and then to hear demo tapes and realize how much extraordinary talent there was out there that is never going to be heard for one reason or another.
Well, you wrote this or co-wrote this next song on your Pick 3 playlist. Who or what is Slings and Arrows?
This was one of the demos in the pile of tapes around the time of the MC Hammer demo. I love this band. It was Bart Moore, a Michigan-based singer-songwriter who was living in San Francisco. And I agreed to produce them towards getting them a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up joining the band and playing bass. And
for how long?
3 years. And this was just a demo. We never were able to get a deal. For me, it's one of these examples of a great song that should have seen the light of day but didn't, for who knows why.
So the band is called Slings and Arrows, and the song, co-written by Daniel Levitin, is called Irish Green.
I'm going down to see Lady O'Malley. I hope that she'll be wearing Irish green. I hope that you will help restrain me. You know how good she looks in green. Her eyes are sharp and deadly razors. Her hands are computerized machines. When she explodes, she turns the skyline Irish green. Irish green.
Slings and Arrows is the name of the band, Irish Green, an unreleased track from the archives of my guest, Daniel Levitin, the author of the bestsellers This Is Your Brain on Music and The World in Six Songs, neuroscientist, and sharing a Pick 3 playlist with us on Soundcheck today, his 1,000th interview, which, again, as I mentioned earlier, sort of speaks to the interest, the burgeoning interest in the last 10 years especially, in how music affects our brain. It has been said, Daniel, and I think we've even talked about this in the past, that, you know, the 14 to 16-year-old brain is, like, that's the sweet spot for music. The music that hits you then and hits you hard, that music stays with you for the rest of your life. For some people, it kind of stops after that. You know, they listen to that music over and over again. We recently shared a Pick 3 playlist with Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist, who, to his own surprise, found himself, after like 30 years of not paying attention to popular music, coming back to it and finding he really liked some of it. Is that unusual, or does that prove that maybe there is something in the brain that continues to be available to you should you decide to use it?
So Paul came back to contemporary music?
Yeah, he found he loved Arcade Fire, and he gave us a playlist of all like the band Lucius out of Brooklyn, and so, but Arcade Fire was his gateway drug. That was the one that made him think, oh, I might still like music 30 years after I thought I had stopped.
Some people, of the thousands of ways that we all differ from one another, one of the most important attributes has to do with openness to new experience. So we all know somebody who, when you go out to eat together, they want to eat at the same restaurant eaten at the last 5 times, and they order the same thing. They might even want to sit in the same table, right? And then there are other people who are always looking for the next big thing, and then there's a whole continuum between that. That's a brain structure, and it's got a neurogenetic basis.
Hmm.
It's a stable personality trait, more or less, through the lifetime. Some people, then, are closed to new experience. Their brain closes up around the age of 16, and that's it. Other people are open, and they're riding the wave.
So in this playlist that you brought us today, this next song, Tom Brousseau, is this somebody that you discovered kind of later on?
I did. So a year ago, I went to hear the Punch Brothers at the Jorgensen Center at the University of Connecticut. I was very excited to see Chris Thiele, who had just gotten the MacArthur Genius Award.
He's the mandolinist in the Punch Brothers, right?
And I was blown away, as was the entire house, 3,000 people, by the opening act, this guy Tom Brousseau, a North Dakota singer-songwriter. And what touched me right away was the vulnerability in his voice, the sincerity and honesty of what he was doing as a singer-songwriter. And I've always, being from California, I've always been partial to that sort of self-disclosive, vulnerable, you could call it the California singer-songwriter sound, mm-hmm. although people all over the country do it. And I went out and got all his albums, and I just think he's an amazing talent, and I'm curious to see what you think.
I had not heard of him before you suggested that we play this song. And when I heard this, Here Comes the Water Now, I thought, wow, there's definitely something going on there in North Dakota. Tom Brousseau is the singer and songwriter, and this is called Here Comes the Water Now.
There's nothing more that can be done. The battle has been fought, the race has been run. So gals do a curtsy, guys do a bow. Here comes the water. The river wants to take on another form. The river wants to break away from the norm. Basement for a mold, street for a sound. Here comes
Tom Brousseau from North Dakota and a song called Here Comes the Water Now. Part of Daniel Levitin's Pick 3 playlist, the author and neuroscientist with us on Soundcheck. Do you remember your first interview?
I do. It was a New York Times interview about absolute pitch. It was 1999. And I just remember, I don't remember my first radio or TV interview, but I remember, you know, thinking, oh, well, I've seen, you know, great radio personalities like yourself and Leonard Lopate, and you know they just it's you know Bob Edwards, they make it seem so easy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't prepare, and I learned my lesson.
All right, well, 1,000 interviews later, you've become quite the pro at this, Daniel.
Well, thank you. 10,000 hours of practice, maybe.
Daniel Levitin here to share his Pick 3 playlist with us and mark his 1,000th media appearance. Wanted it to be on Soundcheck, and we are so glad we were able to make it work. Dan, great to see you again.
Great to see you. Thank you.
That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.